Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might happen in your area. Call them. Their number, 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. P.S. Alex, today, what are we doing for Murder Monday?
Well, when anyone goes missing, it's scary. But what about a disabled person? Does that make it scarier because they can't care for themselves and are totally incapable of surviving without help? These are thoughts that went through the minds of Aaliyah Beckerly's family just 2 years ago when the 19-year-old girl with cerebral palsy in the mental capacity of a six-month-old was taken from her home in Evansville, Indiana.
Neighbors say they are experiencing something new. Fear.
Makes me feel scared. Makes me feel scared for my kids that run up and down the sidewalk.
On July 17th, 2017, Aaliyah Beckerly's family wakes up to find Aaliyah's wheelchair and seizure medication next to her bed. But no Aaliyah. The last time they saw her was around 9 p.m. when her mom put her to bed the night before. Aaliyah's mom, Kara, is panicking because her daughter is also nonverbal. She knows that even if she wants to cry for help wherever she is, she can't. Kara is frantic on the phone with 911 now, telling them that Aaliyah can't even walk without her wheelchair. 911 is asking her, who would do this? Who would take her disabled daughter? Kara is racking her brain. I don't know, child molesters, she says. No one on her dad's side of the family is even around. It's only my family. I've got no idea who would do this. The 911 operator is pleading with Kara not to think of the worst case scenario. Kara is crying, saying how scared she is and how somebody took her baby. She was only a room away when someone took her while she was sleeping. Police arrive at Kara's house and Kara is telling them that this can't be happening, that this has to be a bad dream. Then hours go by, then days and more days, with no sign of Aaliyah. It's hard for Aaliyah's family to keep hope because they know without her medication, she's not going to survive. Search parties are held throughout Evansville, and Kara's mom just wants answers. Nighttime is the worst for Kara because she can't sleep knowing Aaliyah is out there somewhere needing her and how another day has passed and they still haven't found her. What's crazy is that Aaliyah's room is right off the living room, and it doesn't even have a door. So how could someone go right in and take her and leave with no one in the house hearing anything? But according to Kara, that's exactly what happened. Then it looks like Evansville police might get a big break in the case after about a month since Aaliyah's gone missing. A woman tells a 911 dispatcher that she's with someone who's ready to confess to the kidnapping of Aaliyah Beckerly. When police arrive, they find out that the lady who talked to 911 is 51-year-old Deborah Woolner. She's the partner of one of Aaliyah's older cousins. There's also a guy there named James Martin. And this Deborah chick turns to him and says, "Tell them what you told me." So police bring him in, and he tells police, "I was involved in Aaliyah's disappearance." And like he says it just like that.
Okay.
And right away, investigators suspect that he's not talking to him on his own free will. He ends up admitting that this Deborah lady, Aaliyah's cousin Donna, and some guy named James Wilson Jr., all three attacked him, held him captive for hours, and beat him with a metal pipe, until he agreed to tell police his story. He said that they were trying to get him to tell the truth, unquote, about Aaliyah's disappearance. He agreed to lie to law enforcement so that the beatings would stop. And since James Martin had injuries that matched his story, police actually believe him. 9 days later, police find evidence of a video showing that James Martin was telling the truth. Like, it's a cell phone video one of them took of them interrogating and beating him.
Oh, wow, okay.
So all three of these people are arrested, and, you know, it sucks because the police had successfully used resources and taken time away from finding Aaliyah to deal with this.
Yeah, like over a week, it sounds like.
Right. So Aaliyah's cousin, Donna Robertson, who is one of the three involved in the beating of this guy, had shown up to almost all the searches for Aaliyah and even did news interviews talking about her, which makes all of that seem real sketchy. Like, could one of them or all of them have been involved in Aaliyah's disappearance?
But then be on TV talking about it.
Right. But that's like normal. A lot of times when somebody is guilty of a murder or something like that, they will insert, there's a special type of personality, but they will insert themselves into the investigation to
please
find out how close they are to being caught.
Bring my wife home, even though I murdered her. Please.
There was a guy, there was actually a high school kid that murdered someone in a park up in Fishers, here north of Indianapolis. And he did that. He was like a teenager.
Really?
He killed this guy. This is only a couple years ago. He was riding his bike around and asking police officers, like, while they were working the crime scene, like, what's going on? What do you know? Have you found the guy? Like, just to insert himself into the mm-hmm. investigation. And because that kid did that, that led police to investigating him and then helping solve that case.
Yeah, people are so dumb. I mean, not that I'm an expert here, but you don't do that.
Right? So a few months later, police say that they find something of interest relating to the case. Not a body, but something Aaliyah related. A crowd has now gathered around a random patch of woods under the streetlights, but no one seems to know what's going on. Suddenly, police dig something up from the ground. It's a large bag, and there's bones inside. But it's determined that the bones belong to an animal. They're not human.
Oh my God. Okay. So it's not her.
This was good news because it meant Aaliyah might still be alive, but the family still has no answers. More months go by. Aaliyah's birthday passes and she's still missing. Will police find her alive? Find out next on Murder Monday.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
We are the Joe and Alex Show, and we are talking about Murder Monday today. Aaliyah Beckerly. This happened in Evansville, Indiana, and Alex will continue the story. But there's several photos up online, Alex, I'm seeing on our Instagram. If you go follow us right now, you can see it at Joe and Alex Show. What are these photos of?
You can see Aaliyah Beckerly in her wheelchair with her sippy cup. You can see Aaliyah and her mom, Kara. Investigators reenacting in her room how she was actually abducted. And some more parts of the story that I don't want to spoil just yet.
Okay, so listen.
It's been about 8 months since 19-year-old Aaliyah Beckerly was kidnapped from a room in the middle of the night. Aaliyah has cerebral palsy and is nonverbal, wheelchair-bound, and has the mental capacity of a six-month-old. On March 28th, 2017, a woman named Kathy tells police that she and her friends were bando hunting on the south side of Evansville, Indiana. Do you know what bando hunting is?
I lived and worked in Evansville for almost 3 years, and I am blanking on what bando hunting is.
Bando hunting is searching abandoned houses to find anything of value that you can sell.
Oh, hey, look, a spoon.
Exactly.
What, is that for meth? All right.
Exactly.
A needle, hey.
Kathy says she and her friends made their way into the abandoned house when she started to slowly walk up the old wood stairs to the second floor. Kathy could smell the strong stench of bleach. She shined a flashlight into one of the bedrooms and saw two mattresses stacked up on top of each other with clothes stuck in the middle. She started to pull out the clothes and she flipped over one of the mattresses. What she saw underneath was horrifying. It was a body. A badly decomposed body. with bugs.
Oh, gross.
The neighbors were terrified that for who knows how long they were living so close to a body of someone. Everyone wanted to know if this was Aaliyah Beckerly. The next morning, an autopsy report revealed that the body found in the abandoned house was 19-year-old Aaliyah Beckerly. The coroner said her body was so decomposed that they couldn't determine her cause of death. After months of painstaking search efforts, police now had to put it together who did this to Aaliyah. 2 days after her body was identified, police make an arrest. But the person arrested wasn't one of the three people involved in that crazy false confession. It was a 24-year-old man named Terrence Roach who had been in and out of Aaliyah's mom, Kara's, life for years. The interrogator sits Terrence down in the police department with some McDonald's, and he begins to ask him questions while he eats. They show him photos of Aaliyah's house and bedroom. They show him the window in Aaliyah's room and ask him if this is the window he crawled through to take her. Terrence says, "I'm pretty sure I just reached in and grabbed her." So in her room, you can see a picture of this on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. There is a toy box right under the window. Terrence tells investigators that he had leaned through her bedroom window halfway, grabbed Aaliyah with his arms from her bed, dragged her body across the toy box that was closed, and pulled her out through the window. You can see a picture of this detective reenacting this on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. Terrence carried Aaliyah's body over a fence away from her house and into his truck. He said Aaliyah was laughing, probably because
didn't know what was going on.
She didn't know what was going on. She thought somebody was playing with her or whatever. Again, she has like the mindset of a six-month-old. He drove Aaliyah to the abandoned house and covered her mouth in duct tape and wrapped that all the way around the back of her head. Then she passed away, probably from lack of air.
Mm-hmm.
Terrence proceeded to have sex with her corpse. A few weeks later, Terrence came back to the house to cover her up with clothes and that mattress that lady Kathy had found. He says the day of Aaliyah's disappearance, he spent the whole day smoking K2, which is a form of synthetic marijuana that, like, people will sell at gas stations and stuff. They sell it like it's potpourri or something, but it's actually the synthetic marijuana, which is not even close to marijuana. It's 10 times worse. The side effects are...
There's crazy side effects.
It's like you're tripping on LSD. I mean, it's like a totally different experience than just being high on weed. Terrence also says that he's known the Beckerlys for a long time. Kara, Aaliyah's mom, used to babysit him and even dated his dad. Terrence reveals that a few months before he abducted Aaliyah, he was at the Beckerly's house because his dad had been arrested. Terrence says he wanted to get back at Kara, Aaliyah's mom, because he thought that she had set his dad up to be arrested. He was arrested for, like, discharging a gun in Kara's house or something like that. Like, his gun went off. And in his mind, for some reason, Kara did that all on purpose and, like, told on him and stuff and got him arrested.
And that's justifiable, even if she did, to kill a kid?
No. So he decided to get revenge by taking Aaliyah for a few days. Terrence then starts to tear up in his investigation while he's saying this. Not because he feels sorry for what he did, but because he feels sorry for himself. He wants to know if he'll get to see his family again, and he worries about what it'll be like in jail. After 11 hours of deliberating during Terrence's trial in May of 2018, the jury finds him not guilty of 3 counts of murder. Not guilty.
What?
He's not guilty of burglary or kidnapping. However, the jury did find him guilty on charges of criminal confinement and abuse of a corpse. I don't know why they came to that conclusion.
Wait. So he abused the corpse, but he didn't do anything?
Right.
I don't understand this.
It's very strange, isn't it? I don't know why that happened. Like, I couldn't find anything on that. So, like, I know what the verdict is. I don't know why they came to that conclusion. If you can find it somewhere, you can let me know. This case was really hard to research. I kind of went into it without knowing too much about it at first, and then I realized, ooh, compared to other cases, there's not a ton of information.
I didn't know much about what you're talking about. Then when I saw the photo, I'm like, oh my God, because I worked in Evansville before.
Yeah.
And I think I moved right around when this was happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, Oh my gosh, so I didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah, the Beckerle family, I mean, was left totally broken when this verdict came down. Anger boiled over. Family members stood and yelled in the courtroom and after court adjourned. Aaliyah's grandmother, Lydia LaRue, said it was very hard. It was hard to sit there, not scream, not cry, get up and stomp my feet. It was hard to sit there in the same room as him, sometimes just 12 feet away from me. This was a baby. She was disabled. She couldn't run away. She could not scream out. She couldn't fight him, and he did horrible things to her. And that is the tragic story of Aaliyah Beckerle.